May 13, 2010, EFCON.
There's nothing funny in those brownies, is there?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Bob, I printed this out for a reason. What was it? Something's going wrong out here at this project.
Gary, are we going to talk about the
IRCC?
The beat up fish.
You have to run around and find out.
I figured out.
We got an idea. Removable weir. They're okay.
We have to move closer to Terry.
It's just a matter
So it's not like they're just totally stuck at the bottom of the
fund.
The research stuff got cut back a lot because it went to Brown School.
That was the only thing I just wanted to ask about that.
For you, San Diego's in the world.
Fish transport.
Sit here. You may not get me, but just leave a message and I'll respond. Boy, Rick, I didn't go far from the brownies, did you?
We pulled them down here.
I was like,
we were in our started square.
Guess where you want to call?
Just want to comment on it. Kind of made it sound like I don't really knew.
People living there.
It's
a trip. And an honor.
Right, but you know what happened?
Oh, it was a good one. We ended up with a whole bunch of adult fried fish. It was fun. They were jumping out of the ladder, jumping all over. Kevin Brown got one jumped right on his feet out of his trap. They got a new trap and three traps.
You look at the percentages.
It's not working in the sense they need to put up a netting or something.
All right, we're going to get started. So, everyone, welcome to our May F-bomb. So, we don't have a phone, which is problematic because we had some series of presentations over the phone.
We tried that one.
Got three bars.
We had that one meeting when we had a cell phone.
Just somebody to
present himself. You may have lost the phone.
Bernie had his cell phone now.
The only problem is I have a
memo.
I have to hook up because I'm about ready to lose my power here.
Our position.
Okay,
Sounds like he's turning in my family. Where'd you go?
He's got to start early.
Start 2 days early.
Just under the wire.
It's all in.
Yeah.
I
got all of his proposals.
We had some.
Okay. Well, we have a BlackBerry that we'll use for a presentation or two here. So
you just pass it around.
Likely, that's what we'll do. So anyway, welcome. We have an agenda, and unfortunately, I don't think we have any extra copies of the agenda. And
thank you.
We have a word and tree.
That's why I said a stem.
So we have one.
You can have this.
We have one. You have one?
Music. That's perfect.
Okay.
Quick, do you have an agenda? Do you have an agenda?
I need one. So, does anyone have any additions to make to the agenda before we jump in?
Are we going to talk about the John Day
smolt issue?
Yes, that's number 14.
Is that on here?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
AFF.
Email John. No.
Okay. It's already on here?
No, it's not, but it should be in other.
Okay.
You get a little goose on there.
Little goose is on here.
Okay.
Yep. So if anything comes to your mind, let me know and we'll put it on. Any comments?
Logistical comment. Lori Ebner and Scott Thorne, we're going to call in. I'm wondering, should I contact them now or has anybody heard from them? Oh.
We have a BlackBerry that is...
It works.
Working.
Okay.
It works, but I had sent Lori a message saying that there's no phone.
Okay.
When I saw that there was no phone.
Okay. Would you encourage me to call them and just give them the calling number?
She has 15 minutes, right, before she has to leave?
I thought it was 1:30, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you...
Want me to give her a call and ask her to call in aid sooner rather than later?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Doug. So any comments before we approve the April minutes? Our typical approval of minutes
after
is
a thorough review.
Hearing no objections.
Okay, approved. Now, moving into action items. 2.1 McNary Organ Ladder Entrance Gate Modification. Walla Walla will write up a change form. Greg.
Yeah, there's a change form.
And we'll discuss that at the change form section. 2.2 McNary John Day transmission line. Scott was going to put together a change form. We'll roll that over to next one. Okay. 2.3 PTAG detection at the AFF. Cryptic providing drawings.
I'm making sure they do, but they're all in the field, so when they get back, I'll send that. There's obviously not for this year, it'll be for next year, so there's a little time.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep it on here so we don't remove it.
Yeah.
Okay. 2.4, Bonneville Powerhouse 1, submergence limitation, and Bonneville Project Fisheries will change the footnote and submit a change form. Has that been done? I don't.
Nope.
So we'll roll that into next month as well. Okay. McNary video monitoring plan. I know Derek was planning to call in. And so we have that under 3.2 under updates, and hopefully Derek will have called in by then. Who just joined us on the phone?
Derek Pryor.
Hey, Derek.
Right on cue.
You are
you're up.
On a BlackBerry on the table here in F-Palm.
Okay, great.
So yell.
Speak up.
Hello.
Thanks. We'll get to the McNary video monitoring plan in just a couple minutes, okay?
Okay, great.
2.6, Little Goose fish screen deployment. If you recall, there was the issue of screens being installed with orifices closed before the start of the season.
There is
and
a change form agenda.
Yeah, and we'll get to that on agenda. Agenda item 8. Okay, 2.7 is cooling water strainers, and Tom did provide a phone call to me saying alcohol is good.
100% ethanol. 100%, yeah, alcohol is always good, but in this issue, this is 100% ethanol alcohol.
So, got it.
If there's better, a little lots of it.
We've notified the Walla Walla District projects that any mortality juvenile lamprey that we encounter should be put in alcohol. And if for some reason they were out of alcohol for obvious reasons, that
they're drinking 100% stuff, man. You got bigger problems. They can use vodka otherwise.
Then a backup would be to freeze them.
Yes. Ideally, if they got a super cold, would be the way to do it. Bob is contacting the geneticist in BC that's supposedly doing our work for us. And when we get a better data protocol, I know this will work, but he might have an easier technique. There are
okay.
some dry techniques coming up that I don't know if he's available enough to use those yet.
Okay. Well, I guess we won't put anything more as an action item, but if you have a future update, let us know.
We get information about that.
Do you have someone who's going to be collecting it, or do you know who is going to be?
Bob is in charge of that. I have not seen Bob since he's been in Montana and somewhere else now for CRT. So once we get that, I think we're trying to get that streamlined. Once we get a process for sampling and discretization, then we'll give you guys a spot when we send it.
Okay. Sounds good. For now, we'll start, just holding them at the projects. And okay. Bonneville transformer work. Ben was going to bring this back to F-Palm today. And I assume Ben is... Well, I don't see him here. He's not on the phone, so... Do you know of any update, Tammy?
A choo choo.
Just checking.
Okay. Bonneville, we'll just move on.
We'll leave that one alone.
Bonneville Powerhouse 2, unit operations. Dave will draft a proposal for the fish passing season.
And I guess I have to apologize. I drafted some language for the period of time for the Spring Creek passage, but not for the entire season. So if that's what I was supposed to do, I haven't done that.
Do you anticipate doing such a thing in the future?
I will have to talk with my colleague at Bell Fishery to see if there's some interest in doing that.
So should we keep it as an action item?
I think so.
Okay. Sounds good. Got it. 2.10, McNary North and South Traveling Screens, and Tammy was going to talk to John. Have you talked to John yet?
So, John, you got it?
Yeah, so funny enough, I remember sending an email saying, how did I get passed with this? Can you send me more information?
I have no idea how you got passed with it.
That's good work that you covered Walla Walla.
But I see
it. Yeah, I covered my own river.
But hey, discover Walla Walla.
I honestly... I don't. Who puts the action items on here?
Wait a minute, you're in charge of this thing. I was going to say, nice delegation skills there. Nice delegation skills.
I recall you.
Well, let's recast it. We're recasting it to.
I think my wife doesn't even have that kind of skills of recasting.
Here,
delegation.
Here's our action item in action. John.
John.
The issue is at McNary on the organ ladder, at the exit of the organ ladder, there are two really large traveling screens that screen the water. It's a 1,270 CFS. Of that, I think 1,000 CFS goes down the ladder for additional flow down the ladder. And of the remaining 270 or so, a portion of that goes in down a canal.
Irrigation
canal, and the other part of that small amount of water goes to the wildlife area at McNary. And so there's a screen there to screen that flow of water. Well, those screens are original. They're train wrecks waiting to happen, and we are currently holding them in place with duct tape and baling twine. And so what we determined at our last FFOM was that we have limited options. It would cost, and I don't have the report in front of me right now, but I believe about almost $600,000 to repair them, to get them back up and functional, or it would cost like $630,000 to just replace them. And so the point is, FFOM recommended in the short term, since those are really our two options on the table, is yes, do the logical thing, go in and replace them, but they do not meet NOAA criteria for screens. And in order to meet NOAA screen criteria for... Yeah, there's two different NOAA criteria. For meeting the most restrictive criteria, it would... Okay. To meet FRI criteria, it would mean quadrupling the size of the screens. And you can see, I think you have a picture in front of you there. Those are fairly large screens, which would require cofferdams being built and an extensive engineering effort to make that happen. And it would
bigger than the Dallas building.
Yes. It would likely take 5 years before we were even ready to move out on such a project. So rather than limping these along for 5 years, we're going to move forward and replace. But in the meantime, we wanted to get on the SCT spreadsheet a study. One, if you recall, the exit of that ladder is kind of in the middle of an earthen embankment section. And so there's very little flow in that area. And so the presumption is there's likely not a lot of juveniles hanging out in that area. There's been Brad. I talked to Brad quite a bit about this. There's a lot of shad that were found, and very few salmonids. But there has been a few salmonids. The point is, we don't really know the impacts of it because we've never really looked at it. And so that's what we were going to talk to you about, to get that on the SCT spreadsheet, so we have a study in place to, once we replace these in kind, then study to figure out is there a negative impact of these new screens, and do we need to move forward with a design and then quadrupling the size and cofferdams and all that being built to meet NOAA criteria.
Or Randy, but I can't speak for
Right. And so
I just know of
yearlings, if they're fry, that meets fry criteria for yearlings, and criteria or less. So,
well, that was one question I had. Does the irrigation district throw any money for barrels?
They ought to.
Or do they just get free water? Because you got such nice guys.
It's a good question, and I actually don't know the answer to that question.
So what was the question?
The question was, does the irrigation district kick in money for maintenance of those screens? And if they do, I can tell you this definitively, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not aware that they do, but there's a chance that they do, and I'm not aware of it. But we can put that as an action item that I can try.
Is that where Christmas bonus is coming from?
I was trying not to talk about that. Yeah, the flow down the ladder, water to the irrigation district, and water to wildlife area.
To answer your first question, though, I think we could put it on the SDP spreadsheet.
Yes.
I can say that as a confirmation.
And
we could put it on the SDP, and we can get beyond this for now.
Right.
I see there's a lot more discussion here.
Right.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think the action item was captured. Probably should be talking to Kevin. But we've already developed. We talked to folks, Ann Setter, and already got have a project, a one-pager developed on this. So,
I'm going to be the devil's asshole on this.
The advocate's
why don't we save it for another time?
Do you have a burrito or something like that?
Put it off.
So it sounds like this is a questionable way to proceed. Have a study to see if you need the screens. Unless this is the typical procedure that NOAA does for all the screens up and down.
Yes. We do have permission to determine apply for some irrigation screens up there. But still, if there are no fry fries in the cinema, someone's right. That's up to the study.
Now, having asked the question, I didn't mean to have it resolved today, but I did want no one to go think about it.
Do you have any objection to putting on the spreadsheets?
No.
Right?
None at all.
Good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Great.
Gary, I have a question. Yep. We don't go down this road for 5 or 6 years or whatever it is, but there's going to be a new set of criteria for other species by that time. You don't know.
Yeah,
the hemp, right?
Everything changes. You look on criteria. You look on something here, that's
so, I just hate to spend all this money on something and find out what became installed and doesn't meet this new criteria.
It's great sea lions moving up the river.
I don't know. So,
I don't know. How is that?
Does
probably
the criteria also.
They don't have a lamprey criteria. No.
So, it's kind of a milk.
It might. There could be a lamprey criteria. I mean,
Gary doesn't care, but Dave.
Good question. I don't know if there. I mean, I don't know of any lamprey criteria in the streams, but I would suspect the ones that are investigating.
Well, we can work through those details as we. But the point is, there will be a. This will be a one pager on the SDP spreadsheet. And folks should be aware that one, there's going to be this will be on the spreadsheet, and two, we are moving forward with plans to replace in kind those screens this year. And I was going to say winter maintenance period, but that is another agenda topic that I won't get into now.
Are you replacing them exactly?
Well, I know that what they're buying to replace these is an off the shelf product that they can buy now. So they're buying it today.
The answer's no.
But it's essentially the same.
It's the same. There's no effort being, no engineering going into this. This is just
it's replacement. Okay. Did we just have someone else join us on the phone?
Yeah, Jeff Heindel, Idaho Department of Fish and Game.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it.
And Lori Ebner, not on the phone? Okay. We are moving on to updates, and we will be skipping update 3.1 for now. Correct?
Doug, do you want to just speak to it, or do you want to move to Lori Ebner?
I guess I'd propose, since Derek's on the phone now, if we can go to Derek, and then if Lori calls in, then she can join the conversation. If we get to the end of the updates, we can jump in. So, all right. So, Derek, we're up to 3.2 McNary Video Monitoring Plan.
Okay.
So, can you... I guess I know one question that's going to come up is going to be, do we had tentatively scheduled a conference call for tomorrow to work through more details based on what you shared. I guess if folks remember that last month, we scheduled that conference call
for tomorrow.
It was tentatively scheduled in case we needed it. Derek, do we need a call tomorrow?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So
I haven't heard anything about it yet. So, what's going on?
Let me give you the update. I apologize, I didn't send this out before the meeting, but I was not really planning on being out of the office yesterday, and I was, so I didn't get it sent. But there's a summary of all the weeks of video monitoring. I sent it to Tim Dykstra and Tammy Mackey to distribute to FPOM. And then as well today, I sent out the requested permissions for all you folks to be able to access the extranet website we've developed to post the summary videos and the summary statements regarding this work. The site is up and running, and I think it's just a matter of you folks getting in and logging on to be able to see it. So that information is out there. And just to briefly summarize what we've seen in 4 weeks of reporting is we've seen zero interactions of salmon with lamprey orifices. The cameras that have been monitoring one closed orifice and one open orifice, in the last 4 weeks we've had one Chinook that was captured on the open orifice camera, and we have that on the website. The fish swims into the camera view and swims away within about 2 seconds. So that's about the only fish we've caught on those cameras that are monitoring the immediate vicinity downstream of the lamprey orifice at Weir 336.
Derek, this is Gary. Was that fish parading on the flow, or did it just swim by?
It kind of swims into the camera, and the camera's really close to that orifice, so it swims into the camera and just turns and swims away. It really shows no indication of attempted passage or anything other than it was just moving around in the ladder, and it came in front of the camera and moved away.
Okay, I won't get a chance to look at it for
it was,
a long time.
It's so. Pretty, from what I see on the video, and you can look at it when you get an opportunity and get web access, is it doesn't look like there's any interaction going on there.
Okay.
We do have several salmon, a few salmon that we've caught on the cameras that we've mounted above the main orifice cameras and rotated back so we can see behind the orifices a little bit better. And so we do have, I do believe there have been some recordings of some salmon further back behind the orifice. To date, we've had zero fish that we've seen interact with the orifice.
Remind me our schedule. At what time were we planning to try to, if we saw no interaction, when would we open all the rest of the openings for lamprey?
Well, we need to talk about that a little bit. I think it should probably be based on run timing rather than historical information, because we've seen the lamprey passing the projects a little bit later year after year, and so I would suggest that as a group that we might just keep an eye on that, and we start seeing numbers of lamprey increasing at McNair, we might open them up. So I think tentatively in the draft monitoring plan that I distributed to you folks last week, I think it talks about mid-June being a potential date. But based on lamprey timing, you know, we could potentially move that back to early July.
I'd like to see some sockeye come through before we...
Okay. Okay.
Feeling too warm and fuzzy about this.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, instead of waiting for the fish to be avid narrated, maybe use like John Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see him at John Day, did the wide blade experiment with avid narrated.
Numbers are so low, you might as well give them
a
Do you want to set a trigger like that of fish lamprey at John Day?
I don't know what that'd be. Three? We
how many days?
And then how many days of travel time? I
would object. I would like to see at least the trigger and a number of salmon that we see first before.
What I'm saying is we're not seeing any problems. We should be seeing sockeye here hopefully fairly
another week or
so. Yeah. If we don't see a problem with the sockeye, then I would say if we see some lamprey past
once we get the sockeye, I feel comfortable then, yeah.
Okay.
No problem. But
you're not going to be around, so what are we going to be dealing with this
one? Derek.
Okay.
So next F-palm is June 10.
Okay.
So I would think that would be a reasonable time to really...
Okay.
I don't see it happening before.
As long as lamprey doesn't show the John Day, we're fine with it.
Okay. So, Derek, I guess, can we just set a number now? Not to open them, but number. But if between now and next F-palm, if we see, like, a certain number at John Day, then we'll get on a call.
20. How about that? I mean, I can pull numbers out of my backside the best. I don't know. Yeah, want to say 5?
Why not as soon as you see you want?
I know. That's why. I mean,
I'm saying a trigger to set up a conference call.
Well,
to talk about it. I would like to wait until next afternoon.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. It's like if you see some lamprey at John Day,
you could see one lamprey before you see any
sockeye. That's
what I was. I was going with what you were saying, and that is, we want to see some sockeye behavior. But once we establish that, assuming that the lamprey haven't arrived, why not just start it as soon as any arrive at John Day?
That's fine, as long as we've had our chance to evaluate. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
The point was to evaluate with salmon. And sockeye, I think, are important for us. Once we get past that.
Yeah, that's why this is Tim saying, if you see 10, 15 lamprey at John Day before we've had sockeye, let's have a talk and then maybe give us assessment. Hopefully we'll have to think about it.
So, Derek, I think this is the plan then. We're going to deal with this at next F-palm. We're going to nail it down. However, if before next F-palm we've had 10 or more lamprey past John Day, then let's have a conference call to figure out. Then we can look at sockeye numbers and lamprey numbers and discuss it. But we're not going to have a conference call unless we've exceeded 10 lamprey at John Day. Sound good, Derek?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Text line,
10.
There's
the number. The goal is to deal with the next F-palm. And if you guys are okay to deal with the next F-palm...
It looks like the peak of sockeye pass, just based on last year's information at John Day, was about towards the end of June.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was peak of pass?
That was peak. I mean, the main thing is, I think we should help them have enough sockeye through there by early June to know if they're... If any species is going to be sticking their nose in, it's probably going to be sockeye.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little small enough to be
things like that. So we get a few, you know, a few hundred or probably should have a couple thousand sockeye to buy or make it super.
Okay. We're gonna move forward with that then, that the orifices will stay closed and we'll plan to revisit the issue at next F-palm. However, if we exceed 10 lamprey at John Day, we can at least assemble a conference call
before
the 10th of June to determine if we need to do something before next F-palm. Okay?
The other thing you might consider is we could do some sort of incremental orifice opening as well, instead of all or nothing. So something to consider. I mean, I think what we've talked about in the past is getting a good evaluation of salmon, and then when we're comfortable opening them all up. But it is also feasible for us to open some at a time as well, and just to be cautious and monitor an extra week.
But
if you want to get a few more sockeye and start opening them up for lamprey, something to consider.
But Derek, opening up some doesn't come with any additional cameras. So,
but you will monitor.
as we have the flexibility of being able to open up both orifices on where 336, and then open up orifices on 337 and still be able to monitor those with video.
Okay.
But it sounds to me like, you know, the way to go is if there's no impact on sockeye, we just open them all up for the lamp tray run. But I just wanted to throw that out as a consideration.
Okay. Well, so anticipate really trying to nail this down at next FPOM and potentially sooner if we get in line for everything.
Yeah. Because I don't see how it helps much to open just a few of them.
Right.
Just get a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was kidding.
Thank you, Gary. That's appreciated.
And also, you should be receiving a link via email to our extranet site for that summary video. And if you have any trouble, just get in contact with me, and we'll try to iron it out.
So, Derek, that first email you sent me today with the one that had the link to the website.
I'm not sure that one's going to work. I think the IT guy that's setting us all up, that's entering everybody in to have access, is going to send a link that actually external, outside of the core, people can then log in.
Okay. So what information...
I think the link I sent you this morning, I'm not sure that one's going to work.
Okay. What information do you anticipate me or someone here sending out to FPOM?
Well, we have the summary, 4 weeks worth of summary reports, and then there's summary video of the fish we've actually captured. And so I think there's 4 reports and five or six videos on the website. And so I would just encourage people to look at that, and then we can distribute the summary reports via email.
Okay. And you want to, are you distributing the summary reports to folks, or do you want to send it to like Greg Moody, who can distribute to FPOM?
Yeah, I can send it to whoever wants to distribute it out to the FPOM group. I'm not sure I have the whole group's email address list.
Just send them to Greg Moody, and Greg Moody will distribute
it. I can send it to you and Tammy, but I can send it to Greg as well.
Is it your first email from today?
Yes.
Okay. We'll get it. Anything else, Derek?
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Derek. Someone else join us on the phone?
This is Ben Housen from Bonneville.
How you doing, Ben? Okay, great. Thanks. Lori's still not on. I guess for the folks who are on from with Russ Kiefer and I believe that there was another individual from Idaho Fishing Game. Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff. Hi, Dill.
Hi, Jeff. So I guess for their benefit, since you guys, you're on a BlackBerry on the middle of the table here, and so my guess is it's difficult for you to hear everything that's being shared in the room. So I think...
It's better than some of them.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Okay. Well, I guess for their benefit, and then you guys can choose to whether you want to stay on or not, but I guess let's move to that agenda item now so that since they're on the phone, just for their benefit. So agenda item 4 is 2008 Biop RPA sockeye transport from Lower Granite. And so just kind of in a nutshell, and I'll let Russ and Jeff kind of provide the update here, but we put this on the agenda mainly so folks are aware of what's going on this year with sockeye. I think I've heard some rumbling that's like, you know, we're starting this full-on adult sockeye transport program, and we're not. But
I've heard that.
and so from my perspective, that's what we're not doing. What we are doing is looking at RPA 42, seeing what the biop lays out for what we're on the hook for, and essentially what we're doing this year is seeking to develop a tool that hopefully, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Ross and Jeff, hopefully this is a tool we never have to use for adult transport of sockeye. But
Tim is talking.
Yes.
Yeah, very well crafted, Tim. You're exactly right. Yeah, we trained you well, Tim. You're doing a good job. Keep going.
So the goal is...
Maybe Jeff and I can just hang up now. You're doing such a good job here.
The goal is...
The RPA...
Hold on just a second. I'll turn it over in just a second.
Keep crafting.
But the goal is to not use this tool. The goal is to simply develop a tool should things turn south and go really badly for sockeye. We have a tool that's on the shelf that we've refined. We know how to use it, and we can implement it and use it if necessary. So that's kind of from my perspective why we're looking at this. One, it ties back to the biop, and two, it's to develop the tool should we have to use it sometime in the future. We hope not to use it. And with that, I will turn it over to Russ and or Jeff to fill in the details about what the plan is starting this year at Lower Granite.
Sure, and I'll start out, and Jeff's on board to catch me if I make anything scathing that's technically wrong. We want to make it clear.
What's the odds of that?
If it's Gary Frederick's fault, that it's no RPA. No, we're all yeah. for this, and all it is to, as Tim was describing, is to see if we can work out the feasibility and the protocols. And as Tim described, we hope none of us in the region hope we ever have to use this as a management strategy. But as a lot of us know, that there are years when we get a significant loss of adult sockeye between Lower Granite Dam and the Stanley Basin. And in years when the population is extremely low, that can be a great concern to all of us. But we do see an indication that increases in years like this one, when the flow's below and water can be warming up in the Salmon River when these adult sockeye are migrating. So we're pretty flexible to work with folks to make it as acceptable and to minimize potential impacts as much as possible. And so it is just a pilot. One of the good news is that with our pilot transportation evaluation, we now have enough pit tags in Snake River sockeye that we should have an idea before they show up at Lower Granite Dam what the relative size of the return is. I want to mention that a couple of hours ago we sent out our draft protocol to the FPOM group for you folks to see it in writing. I know a lot of you are at the meeting and probably haven't seen it yet, but we sent it out a couple hours ago, so you'll be able to see on paper what we're talking about. And so some things that I talked to Jeff yesterday, and we're hoping we have enough adults. You know, ocean productivity had been up. We're seeing better returns. We got a fair number of one ocean fish last year, so we're expecting a pretty good two ocean component this year. So we believe we should have plenty of adults that we can, with a small sample regime, collect enough. And we're thinking we need some minimum numbers to be able to say that yes, we can successfully or not do this. Is that collect fish, and things I talked to Jeff about yesterday was that I think it'd be advisable to only operate if the run permits. We're talking about what we're hoping is that the run is such that we only operate 3 days a week in the morning with one of our personnel there and a truck ready to go, work the fish up, load them in the truck, and haul them directly to Eagle Hatchery. So it would not be held for a couple days in a holding tank there at Lower Granite Dam. We're thinking that we should have enough adults. We can get a good sample. We just sample in the morning three times a week, and having personnel there and a truck there, and then after we're done sampling, load them up and haul them back. We do have experience hauling sockeye adults from the Manchester facility to Eagle, so we think we should be able to do this pretty well.
So, Russ?
Russ, to interrupt, sure. Also, the more experience than we care to have trapping fish in 70-plus, 72-plus degree water in the upper Salmon River and then transporting them a period of at least 3 hours. We currently do that with anadromous fish from Sawtooth to Eagle. And we are, one of the things we're proposing here is to not go outside of the current trap operation protocol.
Okay. That's the thing I was wondering about, Russ. Gary, Des Maynard called me, and I think you did too, and I asked you guys to put this on the agenda if there were instances where you intended to go outside the protocol in the Appendix G. The
right. We do not intend to go out of that.
Okay.
That we believe that we should be able to get enough fish when temperatures are still cool enough to do the limited trap operation 4 hours in the morning.
Okay, so you're okay then. There's really no issue here other than we're having some trouble trying to cover the anticipated take of this.
Right.
But
I've been talking to Richie Graves about that. But also, I mean, you know, this is, you know, a... an item that a lot of folks, you know, would like to know exactly what we're planning to make sure everyone's comfortable with, because, you know, sockeye in the Snake River are listed as endangered, so they're one of the most critical populations that we work with, and if I was in your folks, I'd want to make sure that what the crazy folks out of Fish and Game are planning fits within a good conservation strategy. And so we're planning that we think that we should have enough fish early in the run before temperatures get too warm that we can get a large enough sample size to follow the protocols as stated, the standard adult handling protocols. And so we should be able to do that, and we're not planning on requesting a deviation from those current adult trap operation protocols that Lower Granite Dam.
Russ, in the future, though, I mean, the purpose of this is to move sockeye when we do have problems. That's the whole intent, late in season. And we may be running into some temperature problems at Granite, so we're going to want to at least look at that.
You're
going
to have to evaluate that at some point.
And I, you know, first thing you would do is just look at whether or not we actually exceed 72 at the trap at the times that you'd be wanting to.
The peak of the Salmon River is somewhere in the 4th of July.
Right.
And it's a little water temperature above 70 degrees, usually seen there later
on. Right. So I'm thinking they're not, you know, at the same time.
Right. And that's something we did discuss that.
Co occur.
We have to look at that in mind.
Okay, Russ, what's the maximum amount of time that you would be holding adults before they're transported?
Jeff, is it Tim?
Yes.
So, Tim, a little bit of a change from our last meeting. We had originally anticipated holding adults either in the one of the six holding tanks there at Granite that receives ladder water. We'd also considered, and it's still an option in future years, having a second tank on site, a round 3-meter type, a hot tub type version of a tank that has temperature control. It's a little late in the game to be thinking about that now. In this scenario, we'd literally trap fish. We have personnel on hand helping, assisting with that. The fish would be transported into a truck with oxygen and tempered water according to whatever the river temps are. So you're talking a period of a couple of hours. They'd have aerators going,
okay,
and that fish would be returned back.
Okay.
So it would make a non-stop trip back to Eagle.
So
we'd likely actually have a truck meet us halfway, they have drivers change in terms of personnel, but you're literally talking, it's a period of less than 10 hours. We have more experience, again, than we need transporting fish up to 16 hours from Manchester to the Stanley Basin.
So the point is, though, that if you're trapping and transporting 3 days a week, that means 4 days a week, any sockeye that you get are being placed back into the ladder to continue their upstream migration.
That's correct. And originally I had thought about a Monday, Wednesday, Friday strategy, and just to ensure that we get our hands on enough, perhaps in year one, that the proposal you have now recommends just an every other day strategy, 3 days 1 week, 4 days the next. And you're correct, on non-trap and hold days, the existing FPOM or NOAA criteria would be in play. Those fish would be encountered, handled as needed, whatever minimal data is needed from the NOAA end, and returned to the ladder to continue on upstream. It is imperative, in my mind, as we try and recover these things in the future, to have that component returning naturally. So
yes.
It's important on those off days just to have status quo.
Okay. Good. Thank you for clarifying.
You bet.
Any other questions? Or Jeff and Russ, were you planning to provide any other details on this topic?
Well, one thing that we wanted to talk about is that and once again, correct me if I'm incorrect on any of this, Jeff, is that the majority of our hatchery production is coated wire tag.
Correct.
And so one of the things that we wanted to request is if folks that know that old coated wire tag detector that can be used to select fish, if that could be checked out to see if it's operational, so that if the run's low enough, that we may be able to use that to select a higher rate of our hatchery fish with wire, and that way we don't have to extend any sampling that goes on there and handle more non-target fish, and we can avoid the naturally produced sockeye at a higher rate and just focus this first year feasibility look on hatchery fish if that system could be put back in operation. And it all depended on return size, and we're all hoping that the return is large enough that just this every other day, 4 hours in the morning, is going to be more than adequate. Obviously, if we're planning on haul bait, we could talk if there was going to be sampling and temperature allowed sampling further in the day. We could see if we wanted to increase that sampling, but we're fine if it just works out that we're doing that 4 hours in the morning. So that's something else that could help alleviate some folks' concern if we could get that coated wire tag system back in operation and target this effort more on the production hatchery fish instead of the natural fish, and target sockeye at a higher rate than just the standard sampling that goes on for the schnook run at that time.
Last time I talked to Darren Ogden about this topic, my impression was that the system was in place and he was in the process of talking to a previous trap operator for NOAA, Jerry Harmon, to learn some more details about how practically to make it work. But I thought that we had the capacity there. It was just a matter of getting folks back up to speed on how to operate it. Is that your understanding as well?
Well, that's what we were hoping. I did talk to Darren about this, and he was uncertain if it was still operational. It was still in place, but apparently it hadn't been used in a couple of years. And he hadn't used it, and so we appreciate that he's
helping us out and checking that system out and seeing if it is operational. And so that's something that, you know, we're trying to figure out how to meet this RPA in the most prudent fashion. And it's one where we want to start very slowly and cautiously with this effort. And we do know that we do have at times signal loss between Lower Granite and Stanley Basin. And, you know, it would be one is that if that mortality occurs naturally, it's one thing, but if it occurs while we're handling, it's a much more of a legitimate concern for the region that we were in the process of handling them when we lost a fish, but recognize that there will be some loss that likely will occur in this.
Okay. Well, I guess to specifically answer your question, we can certainly talk to Darren Ogden again to learn about what his knowledge is and his ability to operate the existing system. Now, I don't think there's any way that we would reinstall new equipment that would be in place and functional by next month. But the hope is, since the equipment at one time was there, certainly would support working with Darren Ogden to operate the equipment that's there. But I don't think we'll be able to, we won't have time to install new equipment. So if it doesn't work, then we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. But we can follow up with Darren.
And that's what we're doing. One thing is that, all of us in the region are slowly moving away from Cotoir tag intentions. We don't use it as much as we used to in our fisheries, but we have detectors, and if it's just a detector, we might be able to provide one if that's just the component that's out. But yeah, we're not expecting you to, under your regular operation and maintenance budget, to completely install new equipment for this. Just we're planning 2-year feasibility test.
Okay.
And, depending on how it goes with whether we would then start looking at testing as far as, right, if we're successful staying within the criteria, can we start pinching above the temperature criteria and still be successful? Those are long down the road to see how this goes, stays within the sample criteria.
Still be talking to you.
And then we can have a much better idea of what we as a region want to do in the future with this effort.
Okay. Hey, I think that was a helpful update. I think I'm looking at head nods in the room that say, great, we are aware of this, and thanks for telling us, and we're ready to move forward.
No action.
All right. And we're always available if you have questions or want to discuss this, any folks.
What's the head? What?
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay. There are still some internal NOAA discussions that you may catch wind of.
I already lost the battle.
All right, thanks, folks. We sure appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the update, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. That was fun. We are now back to updates. Lori is still not on the phone. Okay. So I guess we'll just we'll pick up with update 3.1, assuming Lori's not gonna be on.
What is this?
Vidal's 2010 spill table update.
We can get those posted, yeah.
Okay.
Done.
All right. We've already done 3.2 with Derek and video monitoring. So 3.3 is just McNary 2010 ESBSs. I just wanted to let people know, since we talked about it here, I never brought it back to FBOM, just to let you know that we implemented what we said we would implement, which was installation of ESBSs will not start before April 5 and will be completed no later than April 15. So I have the units in the order that they were installed, but we essentially started that the week of April 5, installed about half of the units with screens, and then the following week, April 12, we did the other half, and we were completed by April 15. So we did exactly what we said. If folks wanted exact dates, we can provide, but just know that we did what we said we were going to do, and I never updated you on that. So.
Okay. Well, no, it's going to be a
different. Yeah.
Back to what?
Well, I just want to close this. Gary, where you
going? This is going to be an issue next year again. I am concerned about fallbacks that you'll have and not having screens on there even in December. We'll be looking at research this year, probably for next year, like that. But just FYI, we were looking at pit tag detections of steel that were actually tagged in the John Day ring. And we saw that about half of those fish ended up above me. So those fish are definitely not going to stay up there. I don't have the timing.
Okay.
Still, it's a huge problem.
Okay.
I think we're going to find out it's a lot bigger issue than we think.
All right, so I guess...
Screens in is going to be an issue.
Well, we'll see if they come up and they're having basically a project back up. Actually, we won't know when they're going
to fall. We'll just know when they went up, but we'll know they want to get somewhere by you.
So they're not coming back.
So essentially, this is an action item for Tom to update his screen memo.
Well, you are doing a delightful job of delegation. We're really going to need to have that benefit nailed down.
Yeah, I'll do right up with that. I'll pick up numbers.
Let's save the rest of this for later. Later.
Oh, yeah.
We have lots of time.
Okay.
Not put Lors will update his screen memo in the notes. I will not update it. Don't fall back. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just assume that.
Noah.
So, anyway.
Which agenda? Which one should we get tonight?
I want to make sure we turn this track.
Probably November. November. We have some time to go. November.
Can
we get
October? Yes, September, October.
Let's put down.
I'm going to be. That's the key discussion, right? Yes. So it will be.
Yeah, October time frame, right. I think. So we can start talking about
just as long as we have it captured.
We've
got it captured.
We have a chance to do some more analysis and we'll have Devin or something.
That's what we need.
All right.
Analysis for the experience. You got something against the other?
Good for Noah, so we can't.
I don't understand.
Need more analysis.
Yeah, we could just pontificate.
That's gonna be the answer.
Pontificate.
Okay, well.
Pontificate is what we're doing.
We look forward to another episode of the dueling memos, and we'll move forward. Ben, agenda item 2.8 was Bonneville transformer work, and you were on the hook for bringing this issue back to FPOM with new dates. Do you have any of those new dates?
I've got some new dates, and I guess folks can tell me what they think about them. There's a T11 and a T12 outage, and currently it takes dates July 12th through 14th and July 19th through 21. And wanted to see how people felt about that. Be it 3 units out for one and 4 units out for the other.
We said July 12th through the 14th and July 19th through 21. Is that correct, Ben?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
19 through 21?
Yeah.
And those are units T12 and T11?
Yeah, the transformers and the associated units, you know, we have 11 down already, so one of them would have 3 units out and the other would have 4 out.
So which one?
We moved back up to 2.8 because Ben was off.
Ben transformers, sorry.
Okay. happens when you're jacking with boards.
Which powerhouse is this?
What if it's part of your game stealing?
We can get through that issue.
This is two?
This is powerhouse two.
I thought there were 3 minutes.
You know what I was telling you about? This is these dudes are working short.
Said that way, but you're going to have 4 units out for each transformer out. It's
right.
Just 11 is already out, so you're only having 3 additional units out of
okay.
One.
Okay. 7 units has some transformer. Got a couple units now.
And you can, and yes. You can get this, all this done between the 12th and the 14th, or the 19th and 21st, it's a 3-day outage, or is it 3 days for the...
3 days for T11 and 3 days for
T12. Okay. So which one do you want to do first? Or
yeah, which is which again?
Well, the plan currently scheduled is to have, let me look, T12 out first, so you're talking 15 through 18, from July 12th through 14th, and then 12, 13, and 14 out July 19th through 21. It was done, you know, I mean, we didn't pick them randomly, obviously. We tried to pick during the low of the season based on senior average, but just kind of wanted to see what folks thought about it.
Do we have a choice? That doesn't sound like
I don't know. I mean, it's the same rationale, just with a better time than what Dennis tried to present last time.
Wait until fall?
That's always
there. Or at least in August. Is it like mid-August? See what those reasons are.
Potentially, I can certainly ask. What sounds better to folks? I mean,
that's what I was thinking. In August.
Mid-August is better?
I was thinking mid-August, but I have like 3 or 4 years on anyway, so I'm
just kind of delaying it.
First week in July?
Sure.
Yeah, if we're still in 100, if they're not having gas silly issues, then it's like,
it's
85.
It's 85.
Yeah. It's still
Yeah,
the forecast doesn't make it sound like it's too
much of an issue.
That's four,
problematic,
four
but I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'd say that if it does shut units down, that's a bad thing. I mean, that is a bad thing.
If they're shut down anyway.
If they're shut down anyway, it makes no difference.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where do it if it makes no difference, but if it does make a difference, it should be done later in the season. I'm not as worried about that as I would be just taking flow away from that powerhouse and reducing the air racing risk conditions even more than the other. It's incremental, but it's a bad time. You know, in mid-July is when we have good numbers of stuff here just moving through, and probably the highest bike manipulation of the season, so it's really a bad time. It's any effect like that. So I'd say do it if you want to plan for it. You got to plan now. I plan for later. If you can wait till the day of, and you don't need the units, go ahead and do it. If you can wait. This is cool. Ben, did you catch that? I'm sorry, I was talking towards Scott there. I would, if you can, you know, wait till the day of, basically, or you know, right within that week or so, and make the decision. Then do that. But if you can't, you have to plan. I would at least plan it so that we're, if you have to shut units off that are running, I would rather that happen later than sooner.
I can certainly check on that. He can wait some. I doubt he can wait till the day of, obviously.
Yeah, but he wouldn't need to either. You'll know, you know, within probably a week or two what the projected flows would be, so you can make some predictions on that and then make the plans. I think the key here is that we shouldn't shut units off at that powerhouse that time of year. August I'd be okay, but July is definitely a high passage time.
If we end up pushing it back to August, when in August?
The 31st would be good. Sorry.
So September.
You know,
this is 3 continuous days, right?
Yeah, sounds like 3 days continuously for each of the transformers. Yeah, I think if you just get back to, the whole point is to get away from the peak of the run, so particularly the wild fish. So let's, if you could time these for mid to late August, that'd be fine.
Okay.
I mean, that'd be better.
Can it happen on the weekend?
You say, can it happen on the weekend?
Can it, because you're most likely going to have close low enough in late July on the weekend, particularly. That's for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, where the units will be out there.
I don't know. I can ask.
Ben, you understand what we're trying to do, so if you can get it off the peak of the run, off the July time frame into August, that'd be best. And if not, then we need to time it such that there wouldn't be a shutdown.
Okay. Got it.
Of unit flow. Okay, thanks.
Good. Okay. We're moving forward. Agenda item 3.4 under updates is Little Goose Spillbay Weir Operations. When I put this on, I was thinking this was being put on just to let you know we're not transitioning to the low crest position. But since then, we are.
And we have?
And we... I just had a phone call on the way over here, talked to the OM out there, who said it was in process. So he said things were going fine, it just takes time, and anticipated it being back in service this afternoon. And so just for the notes, what happened was yesterday, I looked at the latest STP forecast. Well, last week I looked at the latest STP forecast, and there were no days that were projected to be over 70K, or there was one day. And if you recall, in the FPP change form that we approved a month or so back, the trigger was being above 43K on the current day, and projected to be above 70K for 7 consecutive days. And last week, it didn't look like we were going to hit those criteria. This week, based on the recent STP forecast, we were projected to be above 70K for like 11 days.
That's the their forecast and our forecast is...
Yeah. And so because of that, in my estimation, it was still a little bit... we clearly met the criteria listed in the change form. But the other criteria in the change form was to look at juvenile outmigration from Granite and Goose and to coordinate with the regional fish managers. Well, I guess in my mind, it was kind of a toss-up, to be honest, about is it worth taking the weir out of service for at least 2 days to capture this mini freshet, which is likely to be the only freshet of the year. But... what was really clear to me is if we are going to move forward and make that transition from the high crest to low crest, do it sooner rather than later. And so it was with that that I thought if I waited and bring it here today, it wouldn't happen until at earliest Monday. And then I thought, well, okay, if we are going to do it, I'd like it to happen today. So that's when I called Bill, talked to Bill on the phone, talked to others on the phone, called into TMT where I knew some folks were hanging out and thought, hey, that's a good opportunity to get a hold of folks and coordinate this. And the take home was, folks agreed, let's move forward on it. And the call was made to the project. Doug issued a teletype, called out there today, and they're in the process of doing it. No problems to report. So anyway, that's the process. And one thing I want people to realize is I consider that what we did an FPALM coordination. It just happened that there were a lot of FPALM people all in the same room at TMT, and I took advantage of that gathering. So it's still, I would still consider that O&M coordination. It was just convenient to catch you all at TMT. So
wait, no, you're just cheating on us.
So anyway, that's
well, it kind of already been coordinated with that FPALM anyway, because you put it in the
Right.
In the language.
Yeah.
The criteria to take it out.
Criteria to take it out, when, according to the change form, it's when river discharge falls below 70K for 3 days in a row, the weir will be removed, it will transition back to high crest, and it will remain in high crest for the rest of the season until it gets removed from service for the year. So the point is we're not going to drop to low crest and then have flows drop off, and then we're going to pump the high crest, and then we get this unexpected flow event. We're not going to be continuing to bounce it. This is our one shot of low crest, and when flows drop below 70K for 3 days, it will go back to high crest.
See something like, you know, if it's been dropped off 3 days, but then it looks like you're going to get a fresh crop. You know, 10 days of 70, you might be interested in that. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least...
Well, the triggers are stream flow forecast indicate continuing lower river discharge. And we will be talking to people as we are moving on that. So maybe. So anyway, that's the update.
Looking at the extreme weather conditions when that pool comes up in general.
Yeah.
And we had several conversations about this. What happens when we get down to the low levels, which may be early mid-July. So maybe a longer period of extreme weather. We were wondering if there would be any interest in going down to Vicksburg in the summer, but having that bottle down there and having this tool available, this might be a good chance for us to go in there and just make sure the goal that we get before we get too far down. I know we talked about this criteria of 35 KCFS or 20 KCFS when it's weird coming down. Going down there actually looking at the low flow, just better having a weir in place than 25 KCFS when the weir is spread out. So now we can talk about it in general.
I don't want to discourage you going down there. You want to do it in control.
We looked at that pretty extensively, and it does look better with a uniform spill.
Yeah, and I know you and you
so and we decided on when we decided on
32.
That's cool.
Yeah. So if everyone's okay with that, that's fine.
But if you want to do it, go ahead.
I hadn't seen it. I don't know who knows him. We're in the interest. So I know you and supported it. Yeah,
it's just there, Bill.
It just, you know, it's like Bill said. It's just. It's worse and worse, and you can't do it.
Yeah.
So if nobody else wants to do it, if nobody else says, if anybody else is worried about the criteria set, I'm okay with doing it.
Well, you're also okay. And let's do it. Let's go down and do that again, but let's do it in like November, okay? For next year. But I think the criteria is okay for now.
But the issue is, I guess, we didn't want to get in the late July and see the issue.
Yeah, I was grumbling about it, but I wanted to go lower. I wanted to keep the weir operating lower, especially this year, because it's going to go down earlier. But I finally, you know, people seem to be...
I didn't want to open up the old stuff. I just didn't.
Okay.
Okay, when the discharge drops below 32K, while the high crest weir is in place, and forecasts predict flows to remain below 32K for at least 3 days, the weir will be closed for the remainder of the spill. It's a flow of 32 and a forecast to remain below 32 for 3 days. Yeah, and so that's... So I guess, getting back to what Jason was asking about, I didn't hear overwhelming exuberance to go down to Urdick and pursue this. Correct? Okay.
Unless November.
Correct.
We can work on the tail race, looking at other options. We've got that to do.
Okay.
Be a time to do it.
We will not then plan a trip to look at this. Instead, we'll implement the change form as written. And I know we're all, one thing I'm curious about is even right now on this today is going to be interesting to me, because I know adult passage numbers don't seem to be. I didn't bring them in with me, but I'm not like really alarmed, but I'm just sensitive to the fact that Goose is a problem spot. We have seen a lag in passage numbers at Goose, lagging behind Lomo for adult passage. Not alarmingly so. I mean, we did have a day just a couple days ago that we had 2,000 fish that passed Goose. So it's not like we're talking something that we're only getting 10 to go passing a day. But there does seem to be a lag there, and I am concerned about it. So I'm going to be curious to look back on, today when we had the weir out of service and uniform spill. Do we get a jump in passage today? I don't know. And what's it going to look like when we get this low crest weir in? What's that going to do to the tail race and adult passage condition? So it's something that I think we should be looking at, especially I'm looking at the next couple of days, but also, all of us keeping an eye on it this year, so that, we have some more information, so that we're informing ourselves as we go along to confirm what we learned down at Erdick and to decide, do we want to do a future trip? But we want to learn from this year. Since we're not going to plan an Erdick trip, let's take this opportunity to learn what we can from this year before we go down to Erdick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great moment. It's got an elevated computer device and
Goose. Yes.
Yes. So they're making that direct trip to Lomo and Goose and then some double time to Lomo.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the fault. So yeah. That's the top of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. That's it for Little Goose. We'll assume that everything went well today on the transition, unless I inform you otherwise.
So give him a note that maybe it could have been. But everybody's happy now.
Bill wants to go in November.
It sounds like Bill wants to go in November.
We
could wait till March.
I think the point is, if we go down to Erdick, we want to go down because we think there's a problem that we're trying to solve. If we think this...
What's loose?
If we think this...
just has a hanker for catfish. That's what I was doing.
Black catfish season.
Around Christmas.
I'd be thrilled if implementation of this change form went well and everyone was satisfied. So that's the goal. But if we encounter issues, then I think it is a good idea to have that on the radar screen that we could schedule another trip.
I can't wait to see you next
time. Damn, we've got it. Okay. We are now moving on, for the benefit of Tom, moving on to 3.5, which is just an update on transport. And really, this is just suffice to say,
you doing it?
We are transporting.
I saw the barge this morning.
We saw the barge at John Day this morning. We started at Lower Granite on April 24. We started at Little Goose May 2. And we started at Lomo May 5. Things are moving along as scheduled. No news is good news on this, but I just wanted folks to be aware that we are doing that, and there is no bad news to report.
Good.
Which happens. Give me a moment in the sun, because last year I was getting skewered about this time, so I just wanted to point out that the sky isn't falling yet.
Yes. It will. What are you hiding from?
It's quiet.
Yeah, thanks.
Seasons are
strange.
Cooling. Talked about this already.
Okay. Cooling.
Alcohol.
Water strainers. Water.
No one's going to get stopped. It's going to be
really cold. This is a specific request that people wanted. So just have a brownie. I will go down. McNary. Cooling water strainer checks at McNary. The last one, April 12th, there were 11 juveniles in the strainers. Ice Harbor, May 12th, 31 juvenile entry. Lomo, April 12th, 3. Little Goose, May 7th. One lamp, one junior lamp. And Lower Granite, 15th of April, 13th. 31.
That's it, spreadsheet. Is that something that you send out? Or some, yeah. Some form of tally?
Yeah.
And will it enumerate how many units were examined and what the units were? Are they keeping track of this?
They're keeping track of the units that are even operating. Yes,
maybe this ought to be sent out every
test unit
month to
the residents to talk about this based on the data.
Yeah, essentially, from my perspective, we have a lamprey team that's coming up with solutions for lamprey problems in the lamprey work group. We know that this is an area where we're having some mortality between juveniles, but we didn't really know what level. We checked, this all hit the fan a year ago, February, where we checked at Ice Harbor for the first time, and there were like 700 juvenile lamprey in the cooling water streams, and everyone flipped out, and me included. That's not something we like to see. But then, is that what's happening every month? Was that a one-time thing? Is that just there's something special about Ice Harbor? So, Ice Harbor last year then started doing these monthly checks. We've expanded that to monthly checks of all wall-to-wall district projects so that we can just have a better understanding of what problem we're trying to solve. Do we find lamprey in cooling water streamers from the turbine unit that was running the most or the one that stopped and started the most? You know, it's trying to get some of that baseline information so that we're more equipped to solve problems.
So this is going to be stored somewhere.
Right.
No, I mean on a database. Yeah. Other than Tim.
So if you go to a spreadsheet, you can send them to these guys updated once a month.
Yeah.
And
John's very best.
Yeah, John.
He's the one that's gathered the info.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll send it to you. Yep. Okay, 3.7. Bonneville, Bill Bay 15, hoist. It's on a user list. Anything else other than it's on a user list? UFER unfunded employment request.
That's why it was on the list. Or why?
Can I move on now, or did you want to?
Does that mean there's no chance of it being done? Or
yearly? No, it means that we're trying to get, if there's funding on the NPO, we're trying to fund our deeper funding. Will we prioritize or not funded until next year?
Okay. Gary, did you want to linger on Bonneville for a while?
UMT, there is no study plan. It's done. Let's move on.
Yes.
Please. So probably Ben has the same probably hey. Same comment. Next.
Let's not. Okay.
Ray has been
Smith Root. We're done. Nothing to talk about.
Checking.
Other than wow, it does suck fish.
Wow.
No, the monitor simply there as a reminder.
Any update on the grizzly?
No update.
I thought so.
No update. Okay.
Slow roll. Hey, we do have an update.
Hey.
Slow roll, we got a bit of an update. The subcommittee had a conference call, and we went over pretty much the current status of the need for slow roll, which we decided not to extend it past the end of April just based on that being what was put in the FPP, what we assumed to be a little more vulnerability surge in the winter and early spring. We haven't seen any issues since then, which is good. I think we decided ultimately to include somebody from the hydraulic design group that
didn't call in, but I spoke to them since then, and they at least initially don't feel that it's going to be a problem on equipment to be able to operate
okay.
it as a slow roll. There was concern that we were tearing something up and damaging things or wearing them out prematurely, but that doesn't seem to be a concern of theirs, at least initially. They're going to be involved with looking into a little closer in any future conference calls we have, hopefully.
Okay.
And ultimately, what we'd like to do is get the slow roll process programmed into our digital governor, so it's an automated process and it's automated to be a slow roll. We're just sort of working on how slow is and how that'll be played out so we can have it programmed. That's going to happen at Powerhouse 1 first because we have digital governors there. We don't have them at Powerhouse 2, but Jim Duff is out here, the chief of ops out here, is going to try to use this as some incentive to move Powerhouse 2 up in the digital governor process because it was, I believe, last to be done. But with this concern, it might get a little bump in priority. But that's kind of where it stands right now. We're just going to, you know, try and, with the subcommittee, try and come up with a number. Scott's got some info from the Canadian Dam that has cameras in their draft tubes and have a little better idea of when fish move out, where they go in the draft tube. So hopefully next time we talk, we can have HDC folks there and come up with some sort of plan to take towards the software programming end of things.
Ben, do you have an idea of when the next meeting would be?
I was going to ask today. I can make it for whatever you guys like. Is there a time that's good in the near future?
Well, who is participating in this work group? Scott?
Gary, Ed Meyer, Tammy, Scott Benton.
Well, I have plenty to do, but I think I'd like to participate, too. Huh? No?
More the merrier.
Yes.
Well, I'm the one who brought this up in the first place.
You should be. In fact, you have my place. Careful, you may be it.
So let's meet at Irving in August.
What's that?
We have to work around your calendar.
No, his is the biggest problem right now.
Well, maybe.
I can send out a
July would be good.
Thing if you guys want to respond to one of those.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ben,
here July?
You go.
Hmm?
A doodle.
Yeah, doodle.
What ballpark's the doodle for?
How about the week of the 21st of June?
Okay.
But I think everybody's trying to pack. First come, first serve.
Okay,
so
we're
yes.
So we're down to number 6. Hey, Ben, did you have an are you prepared to discuss the game of parapet?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay, then
I haven't really. Casey's been dealing with those guys, and I haven't actually had too much to do with it.
Is there an issue that we know about?
They want to do some shoring work, and it will be vibrations and
ladder. 15 feet of ladder.
Yes, within 15 feet of ladder. So I don't have all the information on that, nor a detailed schedule, so we'll have to bring it back to the June FCOM or send out a coordination form.
So is this done this before? Second paragraph?
No, this is the spillway on the north shore, north side of the spillway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've had this issue.
Okay.
So we'll move that one. The pit tank detection of the AFF, we can move to the July agenda. Do you think you can do something by the July?
I will try.
Well, he doesn't get pit tank detection unless he decides an issue.
All right.
So that brings us to the bells.
The bells.
Okay. Real quick update. This fancy little picture should be in our agenda. This is the avian array that we have in place right now. It's not as good as we were hoping to get.
That's a couple holes.
And let me explain why.
It's the Swiss cheese of
the holy array.
On the bridge, we have three attachment points that we always use. So we found out 2 days before installation that there was a falcon nest exactly under where we have. And said last year the Falconets failed, so we were stuck with having to go to a quick plan B, which is an existing pole on the other side on the Oregon shore. On this just off the map, there's an island there and an existing pole from previous years. Between the lines and the bridge, we're getting hit pretty hard right now.
Now they do know that there's been a gull and a falcon, but I'm
not sure. So make sure you get the falcon.
Yeah, get the falcon so you can get your test
results. As long as you get the falcon, we can
report that we got your test reports.
Anyways, that's for the spring count. I think it's like 30 gulls.
What was the number again?
Down, but
what was the number lethal take?
75 for the spring.
That's, isn't that like a certain number of those in California and a certain number of rainbows?
Yeah, that was just California.
Oh, that's just California. Okay.
So, you guys already saw John Day, there's not much going on there for adults. And they got an army of USDA guys up there.
Have you guys
considered
about bringing boats from John Day down below the Dallas?
Yeah, that's how they're gonna have to get to the match.
But you're gonna shift some effort from John Day to
the Dallas Nets. And that'll happen only when things are just really quiet. John Day will be here as well. We had some folks up on the hill that were complaining because their daughters to the general
shop. Yeah.
So that went all the way up to the river.
This was at the Dallas.
No chain. No chain. I offered that already. So that's that.
Are you guys looking at modifying the attachment plan for next year?
Yes, we're definitely necessary. We're going to get things ready. We might go off the wall. We might have something different off the bridge. And we can get more.
Have you guys talked about putting possibly a pole on top of the wall or something like that and being attached to that?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have this. What's the plan for the long term?
What's that?
When are we going to have sponsors take on the cameras?
Probably another month. Okay. We want to see how everything plays out this year.
I'm
concerned on the wall.
I want to make sure it moves along.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't want to be like John Day this year where it's like, oh, hey, we need to be.
So we need to cover
as
that.
As far as I know, at this point, it's going to be in house. Just like the hell it's getting less from this kind of side. It's a bigger issue.
Can frogs have any more leeway on that?
Go take the birds? I don't know. I don't know if they ever actually get a ceremonial subsistence on goals. I don't know if anyone's ever taken that tack.
I don't think so.
Smoke. Jerk goal.
Okay. Moving on. Agenda item 8. We have three change forms that are just some minor cleanup efforts. And so the first one is Ice Harbor It's table IHR4 for unit operating priority. Doug, can you give us a quick explanation on that?
Yes. Did Scott Thorne, by chance, join us on the phone? No, Scott.
Do we have anybody on the phone?
Is anyone on the phone?
I'm still on the phone, but I can hang up if you want.
Well, you can hang up if you can hang up if you want.
No, you're hang on. Just making sure. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm sorry.
Well, you really check when you get the priority.
Now we have some challenges. As currently worded in the Fish Passage Plan, IHR4, when Unit 1 goes out of service, you have to take all the other lines out, or all the other units out of service in order to do some switching. And so the issue here is it doesn't make a lot of sense to take all those units out. And so the proposal now is to change some unit operations when one goes out of service now to have it then be 2, 3, 5, and 6. And this is due to some of BPA's routing. Scott can probably speak to this a lot better than I could if you want to jump in and talk about switching.
If the caps are still on the line in service, they don't want to have all the generation on line 2 with the cap banks on it. All you're saying to them is that it is on one line. So would it be reaching the last year is that you're one and two of your priorities to keep it on the line? If you need to run more than one unit, you can run three or four, one and three, or two and three, or two and four. But what I discovered when we were going through this discussion is if you move one and two, you cannot run just three and four. And so that's why you see the unit charge in the five on the floor that it used to be to allow for
so essentially, the priority unit priority hasn't changed at Ice Harbor. Unit priority is as follows: 1, 3, 4, 2, 5, 6, and that's not a change. That's what it's been. However, if Unit 1 is out of service, then we need to move to the following unit priority. 2, 3, 5, 4, 6.
Okay. Yeah. On that alternative, when Unit 1 is out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, number 2 happens to be the one that's fixed. Is that a problem? A fixed blade?
It'll operate at one setting. That's just what it is.
Oh, okay. So it's not for very long.
Well, it can only operate at one setting. It's a fixed blade, turn on.
Right, yeah.
So you won't be at 11.
You won't be able to adjust the load.
No, not with that unit. You won't do it at Ice Harbor. You need to bring a second unit on, then you'll bring on the unit 5. And adjust that if you have to. So you're hoping that you don't get two units running, or that you're running just the unit 2. But if we had this happen, the project can go to the unit 2 together. Not very much different, but it does protect against the problem.
Yeah. It's, yeah, like you said, this is not a really substantive change, but if we have circumstances that all kind of line up, this is what we have to do to operate the system. Any
in favor?
Any opposition to this change form? Unanimous support, then we can write down notes for this change form.
How about no objections?
No objections? Okay. No objections. This change form is accepted.
It is for after 2.
Where do you got this?
So I don't really want to see the wall. This is stuff that you could do next.
The wall you'll see on the way out.
Well, and have they moved the crane off from the upper deck? You can't even get to it from the upper deck.
Yeah, you can.
Have you seen the wall?
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Are you putting it for mural?
It's worth seeing the wall.
Yeah.
It's leaning now. Next year it won't be.
I'm just proposing that wherever we can leave the next meeting, leave it.
There's only two more things. I think we have two more change forms.
Let's get out of here. I'm done.
You're the one who talked to me last time.
I know. About you need to start these things earlier.
Can we finish the meeting, or are we...
There's not much left.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's like three more items. In other words, you guys are less patient than my children. So I can share it.
Okay. We're
no. No.
You haven't been excused yet. 8.2.
He's cheap. I'm not.
I'm sorry. The walls in the way.
8.2. We're almost done. Okay.
I got a bunch of numbers here.
We are, okay, for your benefit right now, agenda item 9 is Dave Benner change forms, and he's not here, and we're moving on. 10, Dave Benner change forms, he's not here, we're moving on. Number 11 and 12, Bill, we'll hold these for next time. Okay? There. And 13 is an item that we need to cover now. 14, do you want to hear about SMF mortalities at John Day? If no, we can skip it.
Well, I didn't know that was on there. If it's figured out, it's worked out.
So, okay.
Gary's got to figure out.
We've skipped half the agenda items, but I'm moving back to 8.2. McNary. Entrance gate being operated for lamprey passage.
Good.
So we have a change form. Do we have unanimous support for this change form?
Yes. No objections.
Okay. Approved. Right. Mark that in the notes.
Approved. Towards the end, you'll know you'll get them approved.
Well, what happened? No objection.
No objection. Sorry.
Okay. Seriously, have we just approved 8.2 McNary change form?
What was it again?
How we're operating the entrance gates. Okay.
Read it. No, move on.
You're comfortable with it?
We've been through this before.
I know, but this is the first time you've seen the language. So if you're comfortable... It's J, which is the new language.
If you look at the email, that's what I added to the fixed passage plan.
So basically to codify the nighttime operations of velocity reduction. So we have nighttime gate operations between 2100 hours and 0400 hours.
If you'd have put the word nighttime operation in there, my brain would have clicked a little quicker.
Nighttime operations.
It's not the red stuff.
So we're lowering... So... 1A, lower the weir to the lowest elevation. B, lower the other weir to the lowest elevation. And then 2 is daytime operations the rest of the day.
Okay.
Any problems or concerns with this lamprey friendly plan? Tom?
Okay.
Approved. Thank you, Tammy. 8.3 is the issue that we talked about at Little Goose, where we were going to add a sentence to make sure that when we lower ESBSs that we have all orifices open. Right now the language in the fish passage plan is good language, but there are dates on there that says this starts April 1. And the point is we want folks to open up orifices when they deploy ESBSs. The language that we inserted is to that end, and it states that even when installing fish screens prior to April 1, then this language applies. Folks in agreement with that change form? Approved. John just approved. Thank you. And
approved.
Any opposition?
Bill?
Okay, that is approved. We are now moving forward.
Watch that water in the channel.
Yes.
Okay. Water next month. That's next month.
Tough crowd today.
Water.
All right. We're skipping. We'll carry over 11 and 12. Although if folks don't want to talk about these ever, because we've carried them over multiple months now, I'm willing to completely drop them off the agenda.
Drop them.
They're done. We will never talk about them again.
Well, did we find the reasons why they were problems?
There is research proposed for identifying the sponges. That's ongoing. That's right. So that's done. The false attraction. Now,
just keep,
seen a whole lot
keep in mind, the reason this is on the agenda is because folks brought it to this meeting 3 months ago and wanted it on the agenda. I put
Brad,
it on, but we never get to it.
Yeah, Brad and Ann.
I brought the sponge.
Poor did.
Yeah, the sponge is in here.
Did.
The false instructions, did we ever get involved in of showing
and
an issue?
And
with
and
that?
Brad, Brad
the issue on false attraction is...
The issue was, did we ever get correlating data back with false attraction?
And that's... You guys, do you want to hear about false attraction or not?
Is it still an issue or not?
No.
So you shut off the valve to gold.
We don't know that
do we
want
to talk about it? I can get
just
it.
Give us the 2 second version of gold. And then we're done.
We just did this. Last
essentially, there's we've looked at the minimal data that we have met. I have some emails from Chris Caudill and Matt Kiefer. And looked at it and saw little evidence that fish held for unusual periods of time in this segment.
You won't see it, even though you won't see it with those data, even if you see it with your eyes. You know that we saw that at John Day's South Ladder. We had fish holding, yet the travel times did not show, did not reflect that holding. So, you know, it's more of a, you want to deal with it with just because you're seeing it or not, but you won't see it with those data. You know why?
Okay.
Brad just wants to comment on that. Yeah, absolutely, it is an issue. That that's
no. Brad was encouraged to see that the data did not indicate an issue, and we're moving on. So bring it back up if you want it on the agenda. Otherwise, this is cleared from the agenda.
That was a perfect summary, Tim. You should have done that 5 minutes ago.
It took you so long anyway.
All right. Agenda item 13. We gave Cranda an update on the screens at McNary at the adult ladder. Here's the problem. Okay, obviously we would do this during the winter maintenance period, but John Day lock is going to be out of service, creating a problem. If we did this during the winter maintenance period, what we would be doing is paying for a floating crane for
a longer period of time,
like 3 months. And we were trying to nail down the exact quote. I couldn't get an exact quote. The information I got back was multiple thousands of dollars per day for essentially 3 months. Or we and another option that we can't do is just skip it and do it next year and do it next winter maintenance period. So another option is identifying period in November to get the work done. Now, and before you look at November and get too alarmed, the ladder will be in operation. The only thing that will be impacted is the day of installation. We have to shut the tainer valve to reduce that 1,000 CFS flow into the ladder.
How much clanging and banging on other days? Just a one-day thing?
Yes.
One-day thing. That's all. Yeah, just one-day.
Okay.
And when you switch from the north screen, let's say, you switch down to the south screen. You know, we can add later.
You really get all that done in a day.
Yeah. I understand that it doesn't stop allows everything in one day. I understand.
Okay.
So are you putting bets on this? What are the odds makers giving you?
I am pretty sure because they have done this in the past year.
But they haven't replaced the screen.
They haven't taken out some stuff and put them in
the grab a hold of it at all.
Well, you can
rumbles in the rust.
Well, that's the thing. They need a diver. They need a diver down there. Make sure the guys are clear. Clean up the dirt and grab it there. Make sure the stop bugs go down and do it.
It's just they just put the log
the
in.
Old screen comes out as a unit.
Take
it up, out, take it out, set it, and then we'll drop the new one in, you're done.
Yeah.
Stop all that.
Right.
Was that the other one?
Yeah.
It's jammed sideways.
Those drawings are the same. What's in the field?
Can't pull it up. Can't sit it down.
It's not as built drawing.
Yeah, I would be more. Obviously, I'd be concerned about this if we're doing it at a peak passage time. We're not. We're doing it in November. And I'd also be more concerned about this if this was like a ladder outage. And it's not. Scott. I would think that if we can coordinate a window of time in which this day outage can occur, folks comfortable with that?
Send out a coordination. Let's look at it.
Send out a coordination.
Not now. Okay. Good. I have a choice.
What page of the agenda?
Page 4. Number 4 of 29.
November 3rd week of November. So you're talking 3rd week of November?
At least about 3rd week of November. Okay. So it's going to take 3 weeks to get the president's there. Again, the last 3 weeks of the week, that's going to give us a little bit of buffer time just in case the John Day log goes out. The John Day log's supposed to go out somewhere on the 5th of December, period.
So that's it. What I don't see here, what I would like to see is the fish, expected fish impacts. That's pretty weak. And that isn't talking about fish. How many fish are passing? What's our. Of course, we don't know because we don't count. But if we did count, it would be.
I looked at this for 2007. And do you want to hear the answer?
Do you have the answer?
Yes. I looked at this for 2007, and Chinook and Steelhead both were consistently in like double figures, but rarely into the hundreds. It was always consistently, with under 100, but oftentimes
they.
We don't have a lot of data
for that time.
So I look only at 2007,
that's the only year that we have
where we had the data.
Recently.
Yes,
recently.
And it was for the month of November. It was consistently. There was only 2 days that were above 100 Chinook or 100 Steelhead.
Did you see a decreasing trend across the month, or was it pretty? Awesome. What was
for Chinook, it was consistent.
And Steelhead should have been probably the same.
Steelhead was pretty constant.
So we need to have those in here. I mean, those kind of analyses, that's the point of that section.
But with that in mind, I would say you shoot towards the end of November, give us the number, we'll take a look, and we'll say, okay,
it's just a couple of days.
Okay, we'll update.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item 14, John Day SMF mortalities.
So what was your final on that? I'm sorry. This one, I'm just looking at the date here. You're going to update the impacts, and then we'll get back.
Greg's going to send it out tomorrow.
Okay.
An updated coordination plan.
Okay. I may not get back to you for a couple of weeks, but since it should be on once.
Is there any chance we can communicate with you tomorrow?
I think they need to schedule this.
That's the point. Is we need to for contracting purposes, we need to know whether this work window in November is
yes. Acceptable. Yeah, it's going to be the issue, not as weather. Because what else can we do? So you're set with it. Okay, I just would like.
Does the other ladder is Washington still going to go down?
It'll be open.
It'll be
so
open.
Both ladders will be open at this time. It'll just be this one will be impacted for possibly 2 days.
Yeah,
I can
should be fine.
Just throw some numbers at me. Unless I see something that really shocks me, I'm going to say okay.
Thanks.
How long does it take to get the barge from downstream? They're closing on the 5th?
15th of December.
He said 5th.
September.
And then you've got to get barge back down to John Bates.
So we've got
to
put the big motor on.
Yeah, so how much time is there to convince?
A day.
So you got to be done dead pretty much by 4 days.
So that shouldn't be a problem. So the separate ones?
Okay.
It's, keep in mind, it's a one-day outage per stream of the water, but it's work window of 3 weeks.
Do you want to set up a time to
Okay. John Day, SMF mortality.
Okay. I guess I'll cover that one. And I would call it JBS mortality. They elevated from the baseline of the last few years. We've been really lucky, as low as 0.1% on average, 0.2%, to what we have been seeing since April 21st this year, which is almost a month now. It varies between 1-2%, average probably more like 1.5%. And in the absolute numbers, the problem is small. However, we are kind of disturbed because we are asking what has changed in the system. And the type of mortality that we get indicate that the fish are dying in a very violent way, frequently decapitated, and their heads are separate from the bodies, and so forth and so on. The first clue, so we've been focusing primarily on the high velocities in the system. Just to mention, we also dewater the lower flumes just to double check for verification. And they were all fine. Downstream of the primary dewatering structure, what we did, we shut down the transfer gate. And there was one interesting and valuable observation while we did that. Took only an hour, everything was safe. And few dead fish came as we shut down the flow at lower velocity through the separator. So we know that they're coming from further upstream. Again, we excluded like three-way gates and all the lower flows. And what we looked at first, and we still think it's something to do with the cable hoses. And I just got good news that the sector crew is going to commence very thorough examination of all vortices starting tomorrow and overtime. Until now, our conventional inspections of vortices involve only looking at fully open vortices. Now they will look at full cycle, closed and open, with verification of the limit. Because when we have an indication that it's closed, it may not be. And that's what we are seeing in terms of fish mortality. In fact, I think Greg from Pacific States picked up some shape on some sort of antibodies of fish, of mortalities. And mostly it's one size of fish, which are fairly large. And we don't see smaller fish.
Yes, sometimes we have those of all sizes.
All sizes, okay, yeah. I get that.
Business.
I don't know where else to look. We have looked. We don't think it's coming from upstream, like the screen, because then we have floaters in the gateways. We don't see any.
No, that's the thing. We have one orifice, we should see.
It has to be the orifice collection channel. It doesn't, after they go into the collection channel, it's wide open channel with a thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it there either. I expected the highest.
But in spite of our theories, we try to eliminate everything. We're looking at the entire system for a possibly physical inspection. This excluded the ammunition of that.
Could be most likely the orifice.
Yes. This is at the end. You're outside of the dam when the JBS comes out from the dam, and the next to Christmas.
You guys are hooked up down
the crest gate. It's the gate which regulates the level of water in the connection.
You go to that gate. Workers are particularly suspect there because they're, you know, the gate is about 7 feet to have a piece of the
Yeah, that's understand.
It's just that. Well, they should have everything.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It is probably the orifice.
Initially, they've done a bunch of work on the surfaces this year.
Problems
with them, so they have to disassemble and put back together. We had to remove some and replace some of the cylinders to actuate the movement.
So, I make sure that the guys look at the emergency and the inspection understand what you know to be true that, you know, it has to be completely retracted.
Right. They do understand now. Just to mention, there was some miscommunication. The decision to do it was made last week, but somehow it got lost in translation, so the crew just performed another open orifice inspection instead of the full one.
One thing that concerns me is that it sounds like this has been going on since the 21st of April or somewhere.
No, the 21st. Somehow, and that, it did coincide with the increased number of fish. It may have been going on longer, except the number of fish was fairly too small to figure out.
It just seems like it's taken a long time to get around doing more of this inspection.
Well, like you said, at the very beginning, we had SDS and the regular orifice inspection, and then we were queuing up some maintenance procedures because we discovered, because of what Eric has mentioned earlier, they were replacing some cylinders, so we started making sure that the procedures were in tune with the control room, with making sure that they don't leave the orifices partially open. So we had lots of steps in between then and now.
So,
We had already done it. That was already attempted.
So they're going to go through all 48 or
With the verification, the enunciation,
with camera watch, watch each one close.
And call the control room what they're seeing on the enunciation, because there could be some small discrepancy in the closed position in particular. Maybe indicating close and there may be a gap.
That's kind of what those fish look like there.
Average again, it appears to be stable about 1.5%. Average, it varies between 1 and 2. Doesn't go away.
So
you
got confirmation that they're going to actually start tomorrow?
Okay.
Good.
They'll be finished by Monday, and they were thinking that we're going to find one by Monday.
Okay, thanks, man. Do you want to bring up the testing of this thing?
Well, if you want to, I think that's worth talking about. If you don't find a workers' problem with that camera inspection, there was an idea kicked around of using some hit bank tape, releasing a certain number of each gate valve and collecting the facility with the separation by probe system to see if we could collect any of the fish that were damaged by the radio buttons, killing it. We could ask Badal, hopefully, because Dennis Schwartz mentioned that could happen.
So that may be a way of sneaking this thing if your check doesn't turn something up and the mortality is continuing.
Good idea.
We'll have to figure out the tape issue with that.
We have to cross the permit issue and figure out how to do it.
Enough to show you a problem could be a lot of fish, but it's really just doing a check. You know, I think you're just doing a hope for the best type check.
If we did like five fish per gate well for the gate well, that's about 200 feet.
Yeah,
approximately. So I'm not sure how it's going to do. terms of permits, and if Patello would be willing to give up some from their permit.
You might be about trying to increase that. It's 5 fish, 4 orifice to try to get through. Third orifice closing thing. Yes. Just don't get Skalski involved.
Yeah, that was weird.
Patrick was through laughing. He would start ratcheting that up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go about it.
We have tried out already the first week and half of the
makes what was the time period between switching?
Well, 24 hours we're trying to do it because the sample is collected from 1 p.m. to 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.
So 20 full samples.
Did you do that already? The operation is better. Because the operation was already also I was trying to find out this. Yeah, they did that with, well, we were just kind of telling them next day. We were asked Greg what were the results. Greg didn't know what that was happening. But we were just looking. What we needed was to find the results if the fish were.
So he's still
Well, what I'm saying is, it was in the hands of operations. Operators were actually part of, taking lead on that one. They were saying they were trying to identify if some suspicious places which we were thinking would be culprits, and they took those units out of service and went out to some team.
So just so everyone is aware, the fish memos on this one and the PNNL fish killer will be in the inbox by the end of the day.
I do have one other issue of coordination if we wrap this up. We're going to move on. And it's at McNary and TSW removal. As you recall, we coordinated June 5 and 6 as the 2 days for removing TSWs. We picked those dates because that was 95% of the steelhead that had already passed and only 5% or less of false enough. The issue is here just it's a one-day issue on the front end, which in order to get those TSWs out on June 5 and 6, we need to remove the gate hoist. In order to do that, there's above water, above the TSW work to remove those gate hoists that has to happen on June 4. And so what that would mean is we'd be transitioning to the, continue to spill the amount of water that we were going to spill, but just use the pattern, the spill table with no TSW in operation. We were planning to do that starting June 5. This request is just to start that a day earlier on June 4 so we can get the gateways out. Are folks okay with it, that?
Dan said her called me today earlier and said they will change the working on some spill patterns for this change. And that they were going to call me again tomorrow with some more specific.
I'm bringing this now because I just got an email from Ann saying what I just said, which is.
Okay, that's. I just wanted to make sure that
we do have. That's what I'm a little confused about that because we do have a pattern.
Well, that must be it. All I'm saying is that about 4 hour, 5 hours ago, she called me and said that this is going to be happening. That we need to work out a spill plan. And so I said, we'll come tomorrow.
But I guess the bottom line issue is here, are folks okay with that preceding June 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Any problems with that? None? Okay. Good to go. All right. With that, next F-palm.
Oh, wait. We still have a question.
Yes?
I got a quick other, too, when the time comes.
Okay. Because maybe Tammy's going to get to it, but I have a couple of, I have this thing from Natalie Richards that said this was. Doesn't need to be done until May 21, but they would needed to be talked about at FCOM, is that true? Or do we...
No, I put the FCOM on there just in case you guys had comments that you wanted to provide.
Okay.
Today, but the 21 dates is on there because I suspect that today's meeting was not...
Okay, okay.
I think folks are wondering what you're talking about.
This was something that was sent out by
John
Natalie
Day
Richards.
North.
John Day North, lock, dam, outage, in 2011 or 2012. They wanted to have an answer.
About
that.
Water work.
In water work extension.
Yeah. This is very similar to what we did last winter, except 2 weeks earlier in November, and the numerical analysis already had been done the last time, and it's clearly showing that after mid-November is better than earlier, but if it's necessary, it's just a judgment call. The whole benefit of the action that Sean has been presenting, if we don't have any other choices. There is lots of work, different types, including that power installation, electrical motors, gearboxes, plasma modification of the entrance itself, and so forth and so on. So they need extended in water period. And the number of fish for that 2 weeks, I think, depends on the year. If we get lucky, there's going to be fewer fish. If we don't, but it was very, I think it's better than 5,000 to 10,000 for 2 weeks, mostly still. Yeah,
we still have my only concern about this was the south ladder isn't working. Is this for the whole season? Is this in water work extensions for, for 11, for 12, 13, 13, 11, 12, and 12 and 13, right? It's those 2 years. It's not this coming year. It's years out, and...
This is for next year.
It's not this
coming winter. It's not this coming winter. It's 11, 12.
So we're a year out from now. So this winter, you will have a chance to maintain the south ladder.
Yeah.
So that when these 2 years come up with consecutive extended in water work periods, we will have the south ladder running the entire time except for maybe
2 weeks. 2 weeks is always the minimum.
Okay. But no other plan. Outages, because that's what we don't want is to have a long period of outage.
Not that, that we know, unless that entrance works now.
This year we have here, right?
I mean,
it's a schedule.
That's what I was wondering about too.
Right. We don't have a firm schedule for the fish turbine for the south, fish turbine, AWS turbine, that is rehab. We are going to be now, there was just a meeting yesterday. We are going to be finishing pump turbine 3 and estimated return to services May next year.
That's the only concern. I don't have a concern. You can take that ladder down. I'll do the entire month of November or March as far as I'm concerned. But we need to have the south ladder running at least for all but a couple of weeks for maybe.
Okay, I'll pass it down over the
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's okay. We can. Are you
so you all ready to
however, most of work on those south fish turbines, as I call them, the AWS turbines again, they can be, the turbine which we work on can be isolated rather quickly. So it's going to be only a day or two, and that can overlap with that 2 week outage in January, February timeframe. So it shouldn't, it may not be a big problem.
That needs to be written down.
That needs to be timed. Yes, of course, that's annual maintenance. And plus they will need some inspection of the lower ladder, including the fish pump component, and testing the water below tail rates as well.
Okay.
Was there another other?
No, we're done.
No,
let's
go. One more.
No, it's you approved?
No.
I don't know of any.
Oh,
I think that one was already disapproved.
Disapproved.
Good to know. John Whitaker from our office, who's in charge of the AFF sampling, sent an email a while back asking about the interpretation of the 4-hour bricketed lead. I don't know if anyone
that out?
No, I have to do it.
That's
Brian's room.
Good idea.
He wants to know if the picolines can be raised more often, yet still have 4 hours of sampling time.
Do it, Sebastian. Do it, Sebastian, earlier in the season.
The intent was not to
have to raise them for like a half an hour, but then you get that half an hour, 4 hours later. So your full sap time would be longer, but you'd have a total 4 hours of picking weeds down.
Because that would have to drain.
Things have to drain them all. So I have some male partners have the picking weeds down while they're draining out, because that means you can't have a picking weed. Say, while we're draining our sample tanks and that kind of stuff, please raise the picking weeds and not use that drain time, which accounts for about 40 minutes. And have that count against over 4 hours of the
So, are we still coordinating? Because this meeting is quickly disintegrating.
Is this? I called in. I figured I'd have you.
Ben had a question.
Ben.
I got some.
Go ahead, Ben.
That bird had a curtain cap. That's Bern. I'm calling in to, really bad news.
Oh, good. Thanks, Bern.
I tell you guys to wrap it up. It's so nice outside.
So what's your opinion, Bern?
I didn't hear anything except a bunch of commotion.
That's okay.
Bern said no, the meeting's over.
Tell us what your opinion is.
What your opinion is.
It concerns the AFF, so you better not say anything.
Yeah, run away. Hang out quick.
As a division representative, I cannot comment.
Wow.
Well, the intent.
Hey, Bern, the meeting just finished. Okay, we're going out to the
6 hours.
We're going out to tour or to gaze at the new wall at the Dalles. Admiringly. So, thanks all for calling in. Okay, and it's some because we're all huddled around Tammy's BlackBerry because of the phone in the west of the
picture.
Yes.
Something about saying,
hey,
okay, hey, good to talk to you, Bert. Okay, bye-bye.
No, we are not seeing yet, but, we think we haven't had that many.
So,
auto restarted.